Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's noon and we're still not above freezing. Plus, it feels even colder than that with the wind chill. I'll show you what to expect for the afternoon and the next couple of days.
First, it was a delay in school schedules, and then dozens of bus drivers failed to show up for their shifts. Durham officials address what went wrong.
With the Iowa caucus in the rearview mirror, the GOP candidates set their sights on New Hampshire. A look at the strategies in the race for the Republican nomination.
It is one of the coldest days of winter so far. The wind chill definitely a factor headed our way this afternoon. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. And even with all that sunshine out there, it is still below freezing. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how cold it will feel for the rest of the day.
The wind is going to be a key to the way it feels for us the rest of the day. And it's not terribly strong. It's not, you know, gusty like crazy out there. But it doesn't take very much wind to make it feel colder. So we're at 5 miles per hour. In Southern Pines and Clinton, 7 in Goldsboro, 6 in Roxboro, and around the Triangle, 8 in Rocky Mount, 5 in South Hill. So how does that look? The temperature is on the left and the wind chill is on the right. So it feels like 25 in the Triangle right now. It feels like 27 in Southern Pines. It feels like 24 in Goldsboro, 23 in Rocky Mount, Wilson, and South Hill, and 20 in Roxboro. So that wind chill, it's a real thing. We take a look at our wind chill forecast. It's not likely to feel like temperatures will be above freezing for the remainder of the afternoon. And as folks are coming home, that wind chill is going to start to drop into the upper 20s. We take a look at our morning lows. Boy, we were right there in the mid-teens this morning. Pittsburgh at 12, Castalia 14, Henderson 12, Clayton 16, Chapel Hill 14, Cary 15, and 19 officially at RDU. We weren't anywhere close to records. The record at RDU, -1 back in 1977, and the temperature in Fayetteville, 21, but the record was 6 back in 1977. In Fayetteville, it looks pretty right now, but of course, we're still dealing with temperatures feeling like the 20s. It is 31, as I mentioned, in the Triangle. We have a southwest wind at 6 miles per hour. Just like this morning, tomorrow morning will look very cold. 19 in Durham, 16 in Lewisburg, 16 in Clarksville, 20 in Goldsboro, 14 in Robbins, 22 Fayetteville, 20 in Raleigh, 19 in Smithfield. So very close to what we saw early this morning. After that, we should see temperatures warming up just a little bit, but another Arctic blast heads our way for the weekend. I'll show you that coming up.
Protests over salary issues in Durham continue, and today it affected how students get to school. The district says about 50 bus drivers didn't come to work this morning. Some tell WRAL they're protesting the changes to pay. WRAL's Monica Casey just spoke with the superintendent of Durham schools, trying to get to the bottom of this. Monica, what do they have to say?
Well, the main message here today is an apology. Superintendent Pascal Mubenga and school board chair Bettina Umstead are apologizing to employees about this issue and promising they are working on it. We have heard about these issues for days now. Today, some of these employees, specifically bus drivers, mechanics, and supervisors, chose not to come to work to protest, creating a major transportation headache this morning. Many employees have told WRAL they've had years of service in other places that they were getting credit for wiped out of their paycheck. The district says state years of service, which includes work at other school districts, still counts. We've spoken extensively with physical and occupational therapists about these issues. Now bus drivers, mechanics, and supervisors want their voices heard.
There is a bus that breaks down, and those mechanics are the ones that fixing those buses. And for example, today was really cold. For some of those buses to start, you have to have a mechanic to make sure that they're working on those buses. Fortunately for us, we're able to work with our surrounding district. We have a couple mechanics that came and to help us today.
And this morning, the school district put out a message to parents asking them to bring children to school if they were able to for morning drop-off. They say they are still working on what's going to be happening this afternoon with that. Mubenga says he is hoping employees come back to work tomorrow, and he promises the district is continuing to work on this issue. Jeff?
Yeah, it's a tough situation all the way around. The kids are the ones left out in the cold. Monica Casey live in Durham for us this noon. You can find any changes to our weather pattern on WRAL.com or the WRAL News app. Download it wherever you get your apps.
A Halifax County woman has been charged with murder after her 10-year-old sister was stabbed to death. 22-year-old Khanija Bradley is in the Halifax County Detention Center with no bond. WRL's Heidi Kirk has been following the story. She joins us live from Halifax County. Heidi.
Renee, you know, this is just a devastating story. We're here off of the 2000th block on Beaver Dam Road in Halifax County, where the sheriff's office responded last night to a call that a 10-year-old girl was missing. And when they arrived here, they talked to the woman's mother, who had just located her in the backyard with multiple stab wounds and unresponsive. Now Bradley, the girl's sister, is facing those charges of murder of her sister, and she's due in court on January 25th. And it's important to note that this is still an ongoing investigation. WRAL is working to track down those details for you. And in the meantime, anyone with any information is asked to step forward and contact the Halifax County Sheriff's Office. Renee.
I cannot even imagine what that family is going through. Heidi Kirk reporting live from Halifax County.
For the first time, over 2 million people are expected to be diagnosed with cancer over the course of the next year. Over 69,000 of them are expected to be from North Carolina. WRL's Ken Smith joins us now with a look at the numbers that are likely to raise concern, Ken.
You know, Jeff, this is data from the latest annual report released today by the American Cancer Society. The data shows overall cancer mortality is going down with 4 million fewer deaths in the U.S. This is largely because fewer people are smoking and advancements in lung cancer treatments. Now, still, more than 600,000 people are expected to die from cancer across the country during this year, 2024. North Carolinians are being diagnosed with breast, lung, prostate, and colon cancers the most. People ages 30 to 44 are also being diagnosed with HPV in North Carolina. According to America's health rankings, nearly 55% of people were fully vaccinated. That's the sixth worst HPV vaccination rate in the country.
Seeing some other trends. In children and adolescents, overall cancer rates have finally stabilized. They had been increasing over time. This may have been due to detection. Some are actually over detection, such as thyroid cancer. But we're very pleased to see these rates actually stabilizing.
But it's not part of. Well, to lower your risk of certain cancers, Dr. DeHood and other experts say, be sure to keep up with regular health screenings. Now, if you have a known family history of a particular cancer, it's recommended to begin screenings 10 years before the age of your family member was when that person was diagnosed. Of course, getting more exercise and quitting smoking before the age of 30 can also greatly reduce your cancer risks. Jeff.
Still a concern, but a little bit of positive news in there with the stabilization.
Absolutely.
Ken, thanks.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, following some breaking news overseas, King Charles will go into the hospital next week for treatment for an enlarged prostate. Buckingham Palace said that his condition is benign. The hospital visit is just for a corrective procedure, but his public engagements will be postponed for the next couple of weeks. All of this comes after it was revealed that his daughter-in-law, Catherine, Princess of Wales, will be in the hospital for the next 10 to 14 days following a planned abdominal surgery that she just had. Michelle, thanks. A new school is coming to Durham that will allow students to jumpstart a career in healthcare. Duke Health, Durham Tech, and Durham Public Schools are partnering to start the program. Students will have a chance to earn an associate's degree or workforce credential related to healthcare. This while also earning their high school diploma. It's an effort to put more healthcare workers in the field. The CEO of Duke Health says the state needs more healthcare workers. He says there were almost 5,000 nurse openings at Duke Health last year.
As the Duke partners have said, having healthcare professionals that look like them in the workplace and then providing excellent care and service through what they do.
The school will accept 100 rising ninth graders next January. Classes are set to begin in the fall of 2025. Today, Wake County Public School leaders will consider changes to enrollment caps at some schools. The school system is considering removing the limits on the number of students who can enroll for Apex, Highcroft, and Mills Park Elementary Schools. Staff say this is possible because enrollment plan changes are providing some relief for overcrowding. The board will hear staff recommendations at their meeting today at 3 and vote on the possible change next month.
The race for the White House. Republican presidential candidates are now turning their attention to New Hampshire's upcoming primary. All three candidates are campaigning in the Granite State after former President Trump's landslide victory in Iowa. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is sharpening his message and criticizing his GOP rivals for not debating in New Hampshire. Haley is staking her campaign on a strong finish in the first primary state by courting support from more moderate voters. And Trump is urging his opponents to unite behind him. President Biden took a moment to throw a jab at the other candidates.
You know, it's kind of funny. All these Republican candidates in the primary are trying to beat Donald Trump. I'm still the only person to ever beat Donald Trump. And I'm looking forward to do it again for the good of this country.
Voters in New Hampshire will head to the polls next Tuesday. Meantime, President Biden is coming to the Triangle tomorrow. According to the White House, the president will discuss the economy, jobs created during his tenure, and his Investing in America agenda. We'll have complete coverage starting at 4:30 a.m. here on WRAL.
Next at noon, new charges for the man who admitted to killing five people in Colorado in 2022. The hate crimes the Club Q shooter now faces.
Also, drawing the line on tackle football, the state that wants to ban the game for kids under 12.
And coming up at 12:30, the new 911 calls that help explain what was going on when Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was secretly taken to the hospital.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Attorneys for Donald Trump want access to White House records in a quest to argue politics in his Mar-a-Lago documents case. In the filing, attorneys for the former president accused special counsel Jack Smith and his team of partisan election interference. The attorneys also want access to communications between the Biden administration and the Fulton County District Attorney's Office in Georgia, where the former president was indicted for efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss in the state. Capitol Police are investigating comments made by pro-Trump political operative Roger Stone. Last week, a news website named Mediate published an audio recording Stone allegedly had with a former New York police officer. Now, the conversation was reportedly recorded weeks prior to the 2020 election. Stone can be heard saying either Representative Eric Swalwell or Representative Jerry Nadler, quote, has to die before the election, and that, quote, it's time to do it. Both men are prominent White House Democrats.
The shooter who admitted killing five people and injuring dozens of others at a nightclub in Colorado now faces dozens of federal charges. Anderson Aldrich is charged with 50 federal hate crimes and 24 firearm violations. The gun charges alone can carry a maximum penalty of death. Aldrich, who identifies as non-binary and uses they and them pronouns, pleaded guilty last June to state charges of murder and attempted murder in the 2022 shooting at Club Q. Aldrich also pleaded no contest to state charges for hate crimes under the plea agreement. A report released today says anonymous reporting systems appear to be working to prevent school shootings and suicides. Researchers from the violence prevention group Sandy Hook Promise reviewed tips submitted from 2019 to 2023 in one southeastern state. The anonymous reporting system during that time period enabled more than 1,000 confirmed mental health interventions. It also led to more than 100 saves. That's where imminent suicides were averted. The system also prevented dozens of acts of school violence and averted 6 confirmed planned school attacks.
An American man is in custody for reportedly biting a flight attendant on a flight from Japan to Seattle. The incident happened yesterday, about an hour into the Al Nippon Airways flight to Seattle. The pilot turned the plane around and landed in Tokyo. Police detained the man once the plane was safely on the ground. The flight attendant was treated for minor injuries. It's not the first case of alleged mid-air biting. In 2022, two passengers were given hefty fines for hitting and biting crew and other passengers on separate flights with U.S. carriers. An American Airlines passenger was fined more than $1,000, and a Delta Airlines passenger was ordered to pay more than $77,000 in fines. Those were the two largest penalties ever levied by the Federal Aviation Administration against individual passengers for acting out on an aircraft.
California lawmakers may vote today on a proposed ban on tackle football for children under the age of 12. William LaJeunesse looks at both sides in this legislative line of scrimmage.
A million children ages 5 and up play tackle football in the U.S. California aims to change that.
Kids only have one brain, only have one life, and there's irreversible damage to kids' brains that is totally unnecessary.
Assemblyman Kevin McCarty's bill bans tackle football for children under 12 or roughly 7th grade.
5, 6, 7, 8, 11-year-old should not be experiencing hundreds of subconcussive hits to the head on an annual basis when there is an alternative.
Supporters, even this former college player, cite the risk.
It is a very dangerous and violent sport. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Repetitive head impacts, regardless of impact severity, lay the foundation for brain injury.
But football, opponents say, is unfairly singled out.
There's been no pressure to limit participation in lacrosse, soccer, or ice hockey, which all have concussion rates similar to youth tackle football.
I'm Sam Boyce. I play for Bear River Junior Bruins, and I strongly oppose this bill.
Many parents see this as yet another government attack on their rights to decide what's in their child's best interest. They also say the bill robs those in the poorest neighborhoods an opportunity.
Youth tackle football is embedded in these communities, and it is the lifeblood, and it serves as a vehicle to education, opportunity, alternatives to some really negative activities.
That was William Lajeunesse reporting. California Governor Gavin Newsom vowed to veto the measure if approved. At least five other states have tried and failed to pass youth tackle bans, including New York, where one lawmaker has been proposing a ban for the last decade. Such an interesting debate on America's favorite pastime there. Are we coddling or are we protecting children?
And as they get over the years more information on that, the debate grows as well. Mm. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRN Severe Weather Center right now. Beautiful look down Salem Street in Apex. That sunshine, don't be fooled.
It looks beautiful, doesn't it? But, you know, we've been talking about these temperatures, and you may have been outside already. I thought I would pull this up because oftentimes there are people walking up and down Salem Street. I thought we'd just, you know, kind of take a gander. There are a few bundled up out there, you know, moving along just fine, looking like there's nothing going on, and looking at temperatures at below freezing still. Our dew point is 7. That just means it's a very dry air mass. So it was nice to see our temperatures fall or our dew points fall so quickly last night. Our air mass dried out fast, so we did not have any lingering water as our temperatures got so cold overnight last night. We're looking at temperatures climbing on up to around 41 this afternoon. That's a solid 10 degrees from where we are right now. So that might be pushing it. We may end up somewhere in the mid to upper 30s for at least parts of the viewing area. But of course, the big thing is the wind chill, and it does still feel like 25 in Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 32 in Fayetteville, which it is right now. It feels like 27 in Southern Pines and Clinton. It feels like 24 in Goldsboro, 23 Rocky Mount and South Hill, and 21 in Roxboro. So it still feels very cold out there, even with all that sunshine. It's that wind. This is something that we have not seen in a while. Harry, our security guard, took this picture of the Fountain Mountain. And you may not even know what I'm talking about, because I don't think we've had a Fountain Mountain maybe in a couple of years. But this is a long-standing tradition with our fountain here at WRAL. A long time ago, about 20 years ago, we had a giant fountain out front, and it would make just mounds over people's heads. This one doesn't typically create quite as big of a mountain, but there it is, the mountain of ice. And we might see that mountain of ice all the way into early next week. Again, a look at our morning lows. We were mostly right there in the mid-teens from Pittsburgh all the way down toward Cary. I wanted to check in on our wind chills, too. We dropped down to Southern Pines, 9 degrees in Southern Pines, 9 in Rocky Mount, and 8 in Roxboro. It felt like 11 this morning in RDU and 12 in Fayetteville this morning from time to time as that wind was really picking up. So it was bitter out there this morning. So our afternoon high, we might get up to 41 for this afternoon, 41 in Durham, 44 in Fayetteville. We may end up keeping it a little bit cooler than that. We're just struggling to warm up very much. The purple area here is, of course, wind or temperatures that are well below normal. We see temperatures moderating just a little bit. And then on Saturday, we see another Arctic blast blowing into our viewing area with temperatures well below normal. Normal low is 32. We're looking at 20, 23 tomorrow morning. Looking at 20 on Saturday, 17 Sunday, and 22 on Monday. So we're not really going to warm things up anytime soon. Saturday morning, looking at a low of 20, but it's likely to feel like 11. Sunday morning, 17, feeling like 5. But Sunday afternoon, we begin to see a little bit of moderation. In between, we have the potential for some rain on Thursday night. The big question is, are we going to see this ending as any snow? I'll show you what the models are looking like coming up in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. Consumer Reports research shows more shoppers used buy now, pay later to pay for holiday gifts. Now that it's January, those payments are due. Today on your news at 4, 5 on Your Side explains what to know to keep your credit and wallet in check.
Then at 5, WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is catching up with the animal shelter caring for puppies left on their doorstep with an emotional note. The efforts to find the homeless man who saved their lives and the community's reaction. Well, still ahead this noon, it's been 3 months since the government resumed student loan repayments, but some people say they're not going to pay. Why analysts say the protest is not the way to go.
And Disney Plus is joining forces with Apple to give people an immersive entertainment experience right in the comfort of their home. The equipment that will make it possible. The bitter winter elements can be brutal on the body, but is there any truth that you can catch a cold if not properly dressed outside? Jason Howland spoke with the doctor who explains why colds and other viruses are more common in the winter months.
When your parents told you to put on a coat before you go outside or you'll catch cold, there's a small kernel of truth to that.
If you're a little bit colder outside, your body's immune system may just drop a little bit because it's spending extra effort to keep you warm. That's not with everybody, but in some cases, it may predispose you from a cold.
But Mayo Clinic's Dr. Jesse Bracamonte says the cold weather itself doesn't cause the common cold. However, as winter temps dip down, the chances of spreading a respiratory virus go up because more time is spent indoors with others.
When it's cold outside, typically people gather around the fireplace or around your home. Therefore, if people are sick, you're more likely to be in close proximity to someone who is ill, thus catch the cold.
He says if you do catch a cold or one of the common viruses that cause the common cold, it's important to remember that it's a virus in most cases, not a bacterial infection, so antibiotics usually don't help. Staying hydrated, getting plenty of rest, and eating healthy are all important.
We call it supportive management. Time, rest, chicken soup, and just staying away from others is usually the best medicine.
That was Jason Howland reporting. Amazon is testing an AI tool that lets shoppers ask questions about specific products. The feature could help customers avoid having to scroll through pages of reviews or read through a listing to find the information they want. Amazon says it's been experimenting with AI to summarize reviews and to help sellers with tools such as AI-generated images for ads.
Some student loan borrowers are refusing to make payments to try to force the government to cancel their debt. A recent survey revealed about 25% of people with federal student loans say they have yet to pay their bills since payments resumed in October. 44% of the holdouts believe their protest will lead to some loan debt to be canceled. Financial experts warn against missing payments for any reason. Several banks are preparing to challenge new overdraft fee rules proposed by the Biden administration. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is expected to announce a proposal that could limit when banks can charge an overdraft fee. The Bureau reports major banks rack up about $8 billion in overdraft fees each year. Many small banks rely on overdraft fees to remain profitable. A bank rate survey from last year shows 91% of accounts were charged an overdraft fee.
An Arctic blast is plunging the country into a deep freeze. When our news continues, how people across the U.S. are dealing with snowy and, in some cases, single-digit temperatures.
Also hear the 911 emergency call to the residents of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Why it's raising new questions about the handling of Austin's recent hospital stay. And hear your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. It's a reminder that bears repeating. Bundle up if you have to go outdoors. A major deep freeze stretching coast to coast has tens of millions under winter weather advisories.
And this morning, we experienced the coldest temperatures this winter. Brandy Campbell shows us how people across the country are dealing with this Arctic blast.
It's always kind of special in winter, but today and yesterday and the day before, particularly dramatic.
The snow has mostly ended, and now here comes the deep freeze. It's so cold, almost 100 million Americans are now in a winter weather alert. Temperatures plunging across the country, with some locations seeing record lows. But here in the South, folks aren't used to seeing this type of weather, and some families are out and about making the best of it.
What's your favorite part about it?
Going fast.
So we just have some good family fun time. These are memories we'll cherish for a lifetime. And we're glad to, like I said, to get some snow in Arkansas.
One of the big issues, all that accumulated snowfall is now turning to ice in this bitter cold. Nashville alone saw nearly 8 inches this week. Much of that is freezing over, making travel a nightmare on the roads.
We can't really move our cars. We have, like, pretty nice SUVs. Like, we're both from the Northeast, and even that, like, the roads are just so, it's just pure ice.
It's a similar story up north, but cities like New York and Philadelphia have gone more than 2 years without any significant snowfall. And while the grown-ups work to clear out the ice, some kids are taking advantage of the snow despite the deep freeze.
My daughter's 4. She doesn't remember the snow, so this is her first time actually checking it out. So this is cool.
Brandy Campbell reporting, and with below freezing temperatures on the way, the SPCA of Wake County is urging pet owners to take some simple steps to protect your pets against frostbite and hypothermia. Bring them inside if possible. Provide fresh water for them. Licking frozen water is not enough to keep a pet hydrated. Wipe off paws after taking your pet out for a walk. And before starting your car, tap or knock on the hood to scare off any animals that may be seeking shelter around a warm engine.
President Joe Biden will be in the Triangle tomorrow. The visit comes as the 2024 elections heat up. WRL State Government reporter Will Dorn is here now to talk to us about the president's visit. Will, what do we know so far?
So Biden is coming to talk about the thing that's on the top of a lot of people's minds, the economy. He has tried branding his economic efforts with a positive spin, calling it Bidenomics. And that's what he plans to talk about, as well as what he calls his Investing in America agenda.
And the economy is always one of the biggest issues for voters. How are people feeling about Biden's record on this?
Well, people's feelings are mixed, as you might expect. And it's looking like 2024 is going to be a rematch of Trump and Biden. So if you compare their 2 terms in office, inflation was lower under Trump, but job creation was lower too. The economy has added 14 million new jobs since Biden took office. That's significantly more than under Trump. So expect Biden to highlight that tomorrow, especially since we know Republicans plan to make inflation one of the key issues this year, maybe even the main thing that they campaign on.
So when Democrats use the term Bidenomics, are they talking about job creation?
Yeah, that's part of it. It's a few things. He's also had a big focus on infrastructure, on trying to address climate change. In the first few years in office, he pushed Congress to approve major spending on fixing bridges, building roads and rail lines, and funding renewable energy. So the aim is to improve local communities as well as to create new jobs.
And what do we know at this point? Is that working?
Well, the numbers don't lie about job creation in the last few years. It's booming, but, you know, critics say that that's also part of the reason why we've seen some high inflation. And, you know, we'll expect to probably hear more about that from Republicans tomorrow when they give their rebuttal to his remarks here.
Each side having vastly different views on how the economy is going right now. Will Dorn, thank you so much. And stay tuned for more on the president's visit to the Triangle region tomorrow. For coverage of the visit, go to WRL.com.
A newly released 911 call is shedding some light on the secret hospitalization of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. The Pentagon previously said Austin was taken to the hospital for complications following a surgery to treat prostate cancer, which he had about 2 weeks earlier. Doctors at Walter Reed say Secretary Austin was first diagnosed in early December. The 911 call is now adding to questions about why President Biden was not informed of that diagnosis for a month.
Can I ask, like, can the ambulance not show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to remain a little subtle.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, usually when they turn into a residential neighborhood, they'll turn them off.
Now, Austin says he could have done a better job ensuring the public was appropriately informed. president says he still has full confidence in him.
Indianapolis Colts say owner Jim Irsay is being treated for a respiratory illness after he was found unresponsive by police in December. According to a police report, officers were called after someone found Irsay unconscious on a bathroom floor with a blue skin tone. He was given a dose of Narcan, which is commonly used to revive people in opiate overdose situations. In November, Irsay told a reporter that he had been to rehab at least 15 times. The Princess of Wales is recovering in the hospital after a planned abdominal surgery. Kensington Palace officials say the operation on Tuesday was successful and that Kate will remain in the hospital for 10 to 14 days. The palace confirmed that her condition was non-cancerous, but did not provide any other details. The princess is not expected to return to her royal duties until after Easter, which falls on March 31st this year. Kate turned 42 earlier this month.
Aldi goes all in and becomes the first grocery chain to eliminate plastic shopping bags. How much plastic that'll save a year.
And it's T-minus 4.5 hours until a new crew heads to the International Space Station. What makes them a first and what they'll be doing once they're up there. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRL News app. Get this, our teacher of the week says she was a terrible student, and that has made her a better teacher.
WRL's Brian Schrader pays a visit to Roxborough to honor a social studies teacher who loves her students.
This is your big day.
You can tell that Jennifer Carter at Roxborough Community School truly was surprised. And when I asked her why she became a teacher, the answer was simple.
I'm going to cry. I've always been drawn to children. I feel I have a faith, and I just feel like it's God's calling on my life to just speak to children. The almost life-size animals.
Carter loves her sixth grade social studies students. She believes in giving them a place to be themselves, especially since COVID disrupted their lives.
I'm not just worried about what they learn, but I'm worried about their heart. I'm worried about their social emotional learning. I want them to be able to communicate, you know, how they're feeling with someone.
A student nominated Carter for WRL's Teacher of the Week, and that recognition means a lot to her.
I feel just honored. Just incredibly honored and thankful, humbled. I work in a building with amazing educators. And to be able to be here in this space and to be able to teach the students that I do, I'm just incredibly honored.
How about a round of applause for Ms. Carter here?
Congratulations to Jennifer Carter, WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Love how real it is. If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
A man recalls the moment he fell from a moving RV on a California freeway.
My survival is a miracle. It truly is. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Hear what he says caused the accident and reaction from an eyewitness.
Plus, another SpaceX rocket is expected to lift off today from Kennedy Space Center. Why this mission to the International Space Station could make history. That is blue skies right there over North Hills, and it is chilly with a wind chill also taking effect this afternoon and another Arctic blast coming a little bit later this week. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
San Francisco International Airport will be renamed for the late U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. The city's airport commission voted unanimously for the change. Former Mayor Willie Brown called Feinstein an ambassador for the city. She worked her way up from Board of Supervisors to the city's mayor before being elected U.S. Senator in 1992. She died in September at the age of 90. In just a few hours, a crew of four private astronauts is expected to launch to the International Space Station. Liftoff of the SpaceX Dragon is scheduled for 5:11 today from Kennedy Space Center. This marks the third mission carrying private astronauts to ISS, but it's the first with an all-European crew. The astronauts hail from Spain, Italy, Turkey, and Sweden. The team will spend up to 2 weeks in orbit conducting microgravity research and technical demonstrations.
Pretty stunned drivers say a man is lucky to be alive after he fell out of a moving RV on a California freeway. The moment was captured on a passing car's dash cam. A witness says he saw the RV crash into and then slide along the center divider of the freeway. And then you see the man fly out of the vehicle across the median onto the shoulder. A witness ran back to try to help that man.
I just gotten up to go use the restroom. And that's the same at that moment, my wife fell asleep. So I tried to grab the wheel to get her straight, but by that time, impact had already happened.
He was actually more conscious than I thought he was going to be. Like, his biggest concern was, how's my wife? I was like, you're the one that just kind of flew out of a vehicle, and he was more concerned about her.
That man is recovering from several broken bones as well as burns on 60% of his body, but he says he remains in good spirits.
Recovering from all that will be a challenge, but he lived to tell the story, and he was so concerned about his wife.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
So sweet.
We say it a lot, lucky to be alive, but
that's
true.
Is like the dictionary definition of that. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is here now with beautiful blue skies out there. Such a beautiful vision. Then you walk outside and you get hit with the cold.
Yeah, just bundle up, you know, put everything you got on and, you know, we got to go with it. It's going to be with us for a little while for sure. We take a live look at Roxborough. Roxborough, of course, so we call the snow capital of our viewing area and the cold capital, too. It's a little breezy there. The flag is moving. It looks gorgeous with all that sunshine. It's a very, very dry start out there. And I figure, you know, we can't see enough of this map. This is the temperature on the left and the wind chill on the right. So it feels like 21 in Roxborough. It's 28 there and in South Hill. It is 32 in Southern Pines, but it feels like 27. Our wind is out of the west at about 5 to 10 miles per hour right now. We're looking at 24 in Goldsboro, 23 Rocky Mount. It feels like 32 in Fayetteville, which is the current temperature. So it's been very slow to warm up for the most part. At least up above, we're seeing winds coming out of the northwest, bringing that chill air in. This high pressure system will slide eastward. It'll try to push a little slightly warmer air in for the next couple of days. And then we see another Arctic blast that arrives. But in between those two really cold air masses, we see this system that's producing a little bit of snow out west move into our area. This at this point is really looking like a Thursday night event. This is going to be Thursday at 5 o'clock. We'll see increasing clouds tomorrow. We have a little bit of rain that starts to work in between 7 and 8 o'clock or so. And then by 9 o'clock, it just zips right on out. You can see a little bit more of that way up to our north, and early in the morning in the wee hours, this version of Futurecast, which is our high resolution model, shows a little bit of patchy rain, but nothing frozen. We've got the colors turned on. If it was going to be frozen, we'd see a little blue like that or some pink. So our high resolution model is having nothing to do with anything frozen on Thursday night. But take a look at this version of Futurecast. This is the American model. This one for the last like 6 or 7 days, I keep saying, yeah, this may end as a little bit of snow. So for snow lovers, here it is. This is 9 p.m. on Thursday. We'll pause it there at 1 a.m. on Friday right there in Roxborough. We're taking a look at Roxborough. A tiny, quick little blip of blue for about an hour, and then it starts to pull away. So the potential for any of this to change over to snow is minimal. There is barely any chance that any of that would accumulate, even though it is really cold. And the mountains have a much better chance. Take a look at our snow potential. This is the American model that I was just showing you. You see a look at the accumulation potential. It's pretty much nothing for our viewing area. But back into the mountains, it looks like maybe 1 to 3 inches, especially in some of those higher elevations. And the European model, same story. European model, interestingly enough, up near the Virginia line shows, I mean, a teeny tiny itty bitty bit of a dusting. So I'm showing you that. My official forecast is none of that's going to happen, but there are a few hints of it in the model. So if we do see a flurry or two overnight, if you happen to be up between 1 and 3 a.m. on Thursday night, Friday morning, you might see it, but it's not going to be a thing for us, unfortunately. We do have that next Arctic blast that comes in for the weekend. So Saturday morning, the wind chill 11 and Sunday 5. So that Arctic blast is going to be with us. Highs remain in the 30s Saturday and Sunday. And Tuesday is the only day in the next 7 that our highs will be in the 50s.
And it's happening right now in the WREL Life Center. New numbers just in for COVID, flu, and RSV, all down slightly. You can see by this map here. But we just got the latest numbers. 146 people have died from the flu this year. The information shows there were 24 newly confirmed flu deaths last week. They were all adults. COVID hospitalizations, they have held steady with about 899 people, three more people than last week. Flu hospitalizations, though, they are down 33%, which with 504 people across the state. Michelle, thanks. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So when you're hit by a winter snowstorm, you make snow angels. Video of one critter taking delight after a blizzard when we return.
Also, look at your Mega Millions winning lottery numbers.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Protests over salary issues in Durham continue today, impacting how students get to school. The school system says about 50 bus drivers did not show up for work this morning. Both Superintendent Pascal Mubenga and School Board Chair Bettina Umstead apologized to employees about the pay issue.
Halifax County woman has been charged with murder after her 10-year-old sister was found stabbed to death. It happened off Beaver Dam Road just outside of Enfield. Kenesia Bradley is now facing charges for her sister's murder, and her first court appearance is scheduled for January 25th.
Today, Wake County Public School leaders will consider changes to enrollment caps at certain schools. The school system is considering removing the limits on the number of students who can enroll for Apex, Highcroft, and Mills Park Elementary schools. The board meets today at 3 and will vote on the possible change next month.
Aldi is the first major grocery store in the U.S. to ditch plastic shopping bags. The German-based grocery retailer says it is removing plastic bags in all of its 2,300 stores across the U.S. The move is projected to save almost 9 million pounds of plastic from entering circulation each year. That's equivalent to 20 Lady Liberty statues. Customers will have to bring their own reusable bags or purchase one at the store. Disney Plus is adding a new dimension for its viewers. The Disney streaming platform will be available on Apple's Vision Pro headset when it goes on sale. Subscribers will get to watch select content in 3D and can choose Disney-themed screening environments for their background. Apple says the movies can also be rented through its Apple TV app. Customers who already own the movies can access the 3D versions without an extra charge.
The weekend forecast is perfect for watching the NFL playoffs on WREL and Fox 50. When it's cold outside, watch football inside your house. Saturday night at 8, the San Francisco 49ers host the Green Bay Packers in the NFC divisional round. That game airs on Fox 50. Then on Sunday at 3, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Detroit to play the Lions. That game will air right here on WREL. Based on this video, we can tell you that this little creature definitely is not part of Brian Schrader's anti-snow league. This is video from Tennessee of an otter playing in the snow after Sunday's blizzard. The critter was so excited. It was all caught on surveillance video. You can see it just rolling around there, catching snowflakes, and then running through the flurries. So fun.
Just performing there on camera. Our pet of the day can be a little shy at first, but once she warms up to you, she'll be up for brushing sessions and belly rubs. This is Molly, and when she came to Cat Angel, she immediately gave birth to 4 kittens. They're grown up and searching for their own forever homes, and Molly is ready for hers as well. She dislikes loud noises, but loves treats, wet food, and snuggling with her BFF, Rusty, who she'd love to find a home with. If you'd like to meet her in person, just fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
All right, I guess it's time for us to bundle up, layer up, and head outside. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Stay warm out there. Have a good one.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.